Welcome to Pain Talk, the podcast where we explore pain through a modern science-based lens with a healthy dose of curiosity and hope. Whether you're a healthcare provider looking to better understand chronic pain or someone living with pain every day, this podcast is for you. Each episode breaks down the latest pain science in a way that's practical, relatable, and grounded in real-life experience. We'll talk about how pain really works, why it can persist long after tissues heal, and what helps a nervous system feel safe again. Along the way, we'll explore tools, treatments, and stories that support recovery, from the clinic to daily life, because pain is real, but so is change.
Welcome back, everyone, to Pain Talk. It's the podcast where we talk all things pain honestly, thoughtfully, and without the fluff. Gosh, it's been a while since I've been here and since I last released an episode. I'm sure it's been a few years anyway, but I've really always felt myself being pulled back. There's so much happening in the world of pain care right now, and genuinely so much to be excited about for patients and for the providers who support them. So we're just going to kind of go on this journey together, and I just wanted a space that we could, you know, ask some really important questions, and maybe I can provide some answers. And if I don't know the answers, I'm going to find somebody that can. So my long-term goal is to bring in more guests for meaningful conversation and interviews. But while I'm getting everything organized, I just wanted to start by answering a few questions that I get asked most often, the ones that patients ask me in the clinic and the ones providers ask behind the scenes. So just a little bit of my background, my training. So I'm a physician who's trained in Canada. I live in a rural province of Nova Scotia in a small community. So I've been in healthcare now for about 40 years and began my career as a nurse and then later did my training in Newfoundland for a family physician residency and then did added competencies in emergency medicine and palliative care. My interest and my involvement in chronic pain actually came haphazardly in the sense that in our community, there was such a need for physicians who were interested in providing care for patients living with complex pain. And for those of us that do palliative care, often these patients come to us as a referral, mostly because other healthcare providers are not really sure how to navigate that space for the patient. And so I became really interested in managing chronic pain. And of course, I very quickly realized that it was such a different kind of beast that patients were living with. It was clear that people were motivated. I did not feel that this was about motivation or willpower for most of the patients I was working with. It was really about understanding the biological mechanisms that were contributing to their pain, but also the skills that they needed to start to make progress in their life. And that you could see over and over again that the tools that we were using were actually promoting patients from getting stuck, were not able to make that progress, and people were working really, really hard. So I would say probably in the last 5 years, oh, even more than that, I guess, probably the last 8 years, we've seen this explosion in science and research in this area of medicine. And I think that there is so much more to be hopeful for. Hopefully we can go on this journey together and kind of work through some of these real challenges. So one of the most common question that I usually get from people living with chronic pain is really simple, but it can be actually very deeply human. And that is, can chronic pain be cured? And the honest answer that I have is that it's not a simple yes or no. But here's the thing. I would say probably 10 years ago, I could never say that chronic pain could be cured. But now we can actually say with incredible confidence, in fact, level one research confidence, that some chronic pain can be cured. Some can be profoundly reduced. And for many people, pain can become far less dominant and no longer running their life, even if it doesn't disappear completely. And this is where there's always a challenge around how we balance this, because we do need to experience pain for our survival and protection. So pain is essential for human survival. But having pain all the time in this loud, turned up mode is not really helpful or beneficial from a survival perspective either. So there needs to be that balance. And as mentioned earlier, is that for a long time, we believed that chronic pain always meant that there was some ongoing tissue damage, that there was a bad disc that was happening or worn joints or an inflamed nerve. But science has actually shown us that for many people, especially pain that lasts longer than those 3 months, which is really what the International Association for the Study of Pain says, pain that lasts longer than 3 months beyond healing, that it's really not about the structures anymore. It's more about what the nervous system is doing itself and how it's changing and adapting. In other words, it's becoming amplified or sensitized. So if we had to reframe what chronic pain is, it is basically what's happening is that the danger signals that are in our bodies are staying in the stuck position or that on position, even though nothing dangerous or bad is happening in someone's body. So now the important point here, because often when we start talking about pain generating neural circuits and we talk about, you know, the central nervous system and we talk about neural circuitry, often patients will go to the refrain that you think it's all in my head, doc. And the reality is that it's not something that's imagined. Although all pain is processed in our brain, chronic pain is very real. It's not a psychological weakness. It's a learned pain response that the brain and nervous system have become very good at producing. And so when we understand the biological mechanism, then we can develop tools that are very specific to help individuals living with chronic pain start to make progress. What the science is showing is that for many people, chronic pain is not driven by ongoing injury or ongoing damage in the body or even ongoing inflammation, but by this amplified nervous system. So the brain now has learned to stay in survival mode, and these pain-generating neural circuits that continue to fire without being asked to are reinforced by our response to pain. So this is really important. I like to call these pain-generating behaviors. So one of the most powerful pain-generating behavior is our avoidance of pain, or when we develop fear of pain. Now, fear may not be the right word. We had this long discussion yesterday with a client in the pain clinic where his response was just intense anger and frustration at the pain he was experiencing. Now, to the brain, the part of the brain that processes this is not that sophisticated, right? It doesn't know where danger or threat is coming from. It just senses that something's wrong. So this is what's really important, is that when our reaction to the pain is intense fear or intense anger or frustration, to this part of our brain, it's all the same. It just means that there's more threat. And so it makes sense that our pain system is going to elevate that response. And so more threat equal more pain, less threat equal less pain. So that doesn't make the pain any less real for sure. It just means that it is potentially changeable, which is really important. Can pain be unlearned? And what the evidence is telling us is that the answer is yes. So here's where the hope comes in, is that pain that has been learned, or these neural circuits that have learned to generate pain signals and generate pain, can actually be unlearned. So we now have growing evidence that approaches targeting that brain-body connection, not just the painful body part. Now, when I say this to patients, because I think it's still important that if you have tools and strategies that you use to dial down pain intensity in your body, then don't stop using those tools. But what you want to be aware of is if those tools are causing you to avoid the pain sensation for long periods of time, like hours at a time, then what you're actually sending the message to the brain is that this is a dangerous sensation, rather than a sensation that's coming from the pain system, albeit truly amplified. So the more avoidance of the pain, the more fear that we create around the pain, the more the brain is actually learning that this is a dangerous sensation. So this happens in other areas of our life as well. So sometimes it's really hard to think about pain in this way, because pain is so personal. And everybody's experience is going to be very specific and unique to them. But another way of thinking about it, so I have this intense fear of sharks. I know that's crazy. But you might ask, well, where does that come from? Well, I wasn't born afraid of sharks. Just like people that have fear of flying were not born afraid of flying. But what happens is that our nervous systems, which are clean slates, get an exposure. And for me, it's very vivid. When I was about 13 years old, I actually watched Jaws. And I know many of you out there have had this same experience. So for whatever reason, my brain in that moment actually encoded that experience with intense urgency, meaning that it really wanted me to remember that experience. And it really wanted me to, because it really sensed that this was something really dangerous. and that it would actually put my survival at risk. So it wanted to remind me, should I ever want to swim one with a shark, that it probably was not a good idea. So the more I avoid swimming with sharks, I have no desire to swim with a shark, by the way. I actually can't even understand how people can actually go into cages in the water. Even thinking about it makes me shiver right now. But the more I resist swimming with sharks, or even resist going into the ocean where sharks might live, the more my brain is encoding that as being important. And so it reinforces those pathways. So those shark generating avoidance pathways become stronger and stronger. So the same thing happens when individuals develop a fear of flying, for example. Yeah. So, and the more they resist flying, the more those neural circuits encode for that experience until you get to the point where you won't fly or even think about flying or going anywhere. But should you want to learn to fly, so say you want to do a trip with your partner or with your kids, but that means you have to take a flight because a boat ride is like way too long, then you can actually retrain that nervous system to actually feel safe when you fly. Now, mind you, it's going to be a process. And the same thing goes for when we experience pain and our nervous system has learned and encoded that experience that it's something to avoid and to be fearful of. It takes a process to actually undo some of that neuroplasticity that's happened within that nervous system. But the beauty is that we know we can do it. And how do we know it can happen? Because there's tons of functional MRIs now that actually tell us that this can happen. So this growing evidence is allowing us to understand that we can truly reduce or eliminate chronic pain for some people. So here's the therapy that is really the coolest therapy ever. I've actually done this training, I must say initially, and I'm going to try and do another, but I've done podcasts on pain reprocessing therapy, but I do want to tell anyone can do this training, even patients can do this training. And it is really interesting, and you have to approach it with some curiosity. I felt an incredible amount of discomfort initially when I started doing the training, because I kept saying, my goodness, I am not a psychologist. And I don't really feel that I come at this with this expertise. But you very quickly realize that there is tremendous benefit looking at it through your own lens. So I look at it through my lens as a physician. I encourage patients to look at it through the lens of a patient. But also, if you're a physiotherapist or an occupational therapist, then you look at this therapy through that lens and look at your expertise and see how you can implement that in your clinical space. I use the principles of pain reprocessing therapy and somatic tracking in every space I work in, and I'm blessed to have multiple experiences. So I still work in the emergency department. I use the skill all the time. I may not be sitting with patients doing a therapeutic session, but the language that I'm using, the interactions that I'm using, are really designed to promote less fear and help to promote resiliency in that individual who's sitting in front of me. And what I've learned over and over again, especially in the emergency room, is that when patients are presenting, they're absolutely terrified that what's happening in their body is life-threatening and dangerous for most. Or some are basing it on a previous experience that they've had around an injury, and they're convinced that they have the same injury. So our brain wants to make sense of the sensation that we're feeling. And when that sensation is pain, it really wants to make sense. Because typically what happens is we end up going to scary places, right? That negativity bias that I've talked about in the past. So we tend to go to that scary place first. And God forbid you should ever Google the condition that you might have, because it also pries on our negativity bias, meaning that we're more likely to see things that are not pleasant or safe. We're more likely to see the bad things first. And a great example would be, you know, someone coming in with chest pain who has really no risk factors for chest pain. And I'm talking about, you know, a 22-year-old young man who doesn't smoke, who doesn't use any illicit substances, who's relatively healthy. The chance of him having a cardiovascular event is really low. Doesn't mean that we don't do due diligence and make sure that there's nothing dangerous happening in his body. So pain reprocessing therapy, just briefly, is just an amazing thing. So the goal of PRT isn't to convince yourself that pain isn't real. And it's also not even about changing anything, really. In fact, what you don't want to do is you don't want to think that you're supposed to be feeling some kind of change happening in your body. It's really about trying to support your thoughts about the pain and to help your brain reinterpret those pain signals that you're experiencing as non-dangerous. And that sounds kind of easy, but it takes a little bit of effort. It's like anything new that we do, it's a little bit overwhelming. So interpreting the pain signal. So this is what I always say to patients, you know, we can't control when sensations come up. We can only control our response to them. So pain is going to come. Anxiety is going to come. Or even a sense of panic is going to come. You're not making that happen. You're not causing that. All you can do is kind of look at how I can respond to it, right? So it makes sense that we're trying to make sense of the sensation. If that sense that we're making, or if that's how we're interpreting the sensation, means that something dangerous is happening, then that sensation is going to get stronger, right? So PRT is that skill that once that sensation comes up, is that it can help you feel safe in that moment. How you interpret, so it's not about the fact that the sensation comes up, it's how you interpret the sensation that matters. And this is where PRT can be helpful. This is where what we say to ourselves can be really helpful, because when the brain perceives danger, it will amplify pain. Yeah. So more danger, more pain, less danger, less pain. When it feels safe with that sensation, the brain will often quiet. But here's the thing, you're going to be motivated to have less pain. That's not about what it is. It's really about learning a new skill, right? It's not about a sign of weakness that you can't do this. It's really about recognizing that this is not going to come intuitively. You need to learn that skill. So PRT uses education, it uses emotional awareness and gentle exposure to movement and sensation to teach our nervous system that the body's not broken. In clinical studies, many people use this experience to significantly reduce their pain. And some actually became pain-free, even after years of suffering. And where this was really demonstrated were people that were living with centralized pain, fibromyalgia being your classic example. So they seem to have the better outcomes, but we're starting to see it in all kinds of pain presentations. So there's more and more evidence. And we now have, and I'm going to post a link to a paper by E. Weiss that was distributed in October in Canadian Family Physician, looking at some of these tools and actually linking to resources that are online that patients could use as well as healthcare providers. So another really cool tool is something that is actually embedded in PRT or pain reprocessing therapy, and that's called somatic tracking. So it's a really powerful tool, and it's really just a fancy way of referring to a form of mindfulness or exposure therapy that really focuses on sensations that are coming from our body. So it means just noticing these sensations with curiosity instead of fear, not trying to push them away. And I tell people sometimes the instinct and what we've learned is to push them away. But remember, avoidance increases our fear of it. But even if you could allow yourself 10 seconds of experiencing that sensation, just like a craving, right? When we're struggling with other types of behaviors or things that we've learned that have kind of taken over our nervous systems, right? So not trying to push them away, not bracing against them, just observing them like a scientist, not a judge. And I tell people, expect pain to come up. So the more you can develop tools to respond to that pain, the better it is. So what you want to be able to try and accomplish is to watch the pain without panic. So when we send that powerful message to the brain that the sensation, yep, it's uncomfortable, but it's not dangerous, then our brain can help to dial down the threat that we're feeling. And over time, that message can help calm the nervous system and reduce that pain intensity. Now, I just want to be very clear and honest that these approaches are not magic and they're not going to happen overnight. I actually used this technique on myself and it took almost 2 weeks before I started noticing a difference. So it's important that they may not be totally appropriate for every pain condition that we see. And that some types of conditions, especially those that are acute pain, although I do feel some of the techniques can be very helpful even in acute pain. But if you have a condition like an autoimmune condition like Crohn's disease or rheumatoid arthritis, you need proper medical therapy in order to get that pain intensity, because that pain is actually normal and expected with those conditions. That's how your body is telling you to get the proper treatment for those conditions. But once those conditions are stable, and you're reassured that they are stable through investigations that have been done, lab tests, things like that, or scopes if you need to, then you can feel assured that the pain that you're feeling is more about these pain-generating neural circuits and less about the condition like your Crohn's disease. All right, so we're getting close to sort of ending this podcast. We did cover a lot of information. So what I do want to do is to say to you is that this is not about blaming yourself for why these neural circuits have developed. You didn't choose this. We don't choose chronic pain. Your nervous system adapted to the stress, to your life experiences, whether it was an injury or a trauma, or even prolonged pain in the best way it knew how. It really just wants to protect you. And the beautiful thing is, it can unlearn these patterns and it can learn new patterns. So I'm going to close the frame now. So can chronic pain be cured? The answer is sometimes yes. Often it can be greatly improved, and almost always there's more room for relief than people have ever been led to believe. And I just feel so hopeful as a healthcare provider. I just want you to know that I'm hoping to come into your life every week, bringing a new topic. I'm hoping that you're able to put some questions in some of the discussion boards, and I'm going to try and line up some really interesting people to have a conversation about pain. So until next week, stay safe, everyone, and stay warm.